I didn't realize, probably until after the fact, that I'm a pretty big Brock Purdy fan. I hadn't seen some of the things.
Yeah, I like the fact of his, I like his story. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought he was much, and I like that last draft, everything, last pick of the draft. I like that.
He said something in a press conference, though, I fell in love with this comment, what he said. Somebody asked him, what's your secret to all your success? And he said, well, I mean, do you want me to give you a real answer? If you want the real answer, it's God and Jesus and all that he's meant to me. And I mean, I'm not trying to. He didn't say it this way, but I'm not trying to preach to you. But if you ask me a question, I'm going to give you the real answer. And that's what it is.
Right.
But my favorite thing that I heard from him was he said that football is just what I do. It's not who I am. It's not, my life's about God. It's not about, this is what he showed me at a young age. I was pretty good at this. That's just what I do. It's not who I am.
I hadn't seen that. I didn't get much into the pregame and to watching and all the interviews and all. And I usually do, but I just didn't this year.
I didn't see any of them until after the game, which is kind of funny. If I had seen those things before the game, I'd have been a huge 49ers.
I'd have been pulling harder. They might have won.
But it was really. I will say I'm a big Brock Purdy fan now. After hearing that,
I've always admired him. I think he's a class act. You know. I tell you, the swinging point for me was when Kelce kind of pushed the coach a little bit. I was like, man, I can't handle that.
I didn't even see that
get
really.
Get out of the stadium, man. Throw him off the team.
Yeah, I didn't even really see that happen live. I've seen the clips after the fact a whole lot and stuff on it. And man, social media is having a blast
with that one.
I mean, that, and it's nothing. All I'm going through seeing all my high school friends going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Half of them, most people are pretty against it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few that have.
I mean, you can say some things to a coach, but you don't get in his face like that.
I can make the argument, you know, heat of battle, make mistakes, all that kind of stuff.
But it's the Super Bowl, no bigger game.
Yeah.
I get that your emotions are high.
Yeah.
But that's the coach.
Yeah.
And if you got something to say, man, say it in a way that, hey, coach, we're missing this. You throwed me the ball or whatever he said. I don't know what he said, but just putting his hand on him. But I tell you what, Reed's a good coach because when you look at his record and what he's done, he's still got, I think, 3-4 more years in him probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could possibly tie Belichick Super Bowl. I hope he don't, but he could.
I guess, because how many does he have now?
Three, right?
Three.
Yeah.
And what's he all three in Kansas City.
Yeah. What's he need? Two more, three more at a time? Belichick?
Belichick's
five
got
or six?
Five, I believe. Because Brady got six. Yeah. I did record, right? I'm always terrified of that I forgot to hit record. So I always have to go back and double check it. But so last week on the show, welcome back to the other 167.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to introduce us.
Yeah, I might want to do that. Last time it was the closing was the intro. So last week, I didn't really know what I was going to say. This week, I just don't know where to start.
All right,
I
got there you go. You got plenty.
But
I see the book.
Yeah. I tell you my favorite one, though, from – so you're always good for a couple of good chuckles on a sermon.
Yeah, you go.
But I tell you what you said you said complaining, and I could substitute judging for this word.
Yeah, you could do.
But
yeah.
You said complaining is not a spiritual gift. That's a sin. Let's be clear. That's a sin.
Let's just call it what it is.
There are a lot of people that I think complaining, and the way you described complaining, though, you said telling people what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of judgment. You could kind of say the same thing there, I think.
You could easily
but
do that.
There's a bunch of people that think their spiritual gift is pointing out what you're doing wrong.
Yeah. And they're happy to help everything you need to do to fix you instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to fix them. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I've told you a couple of the things as we were coming in here, and I'm tying them all together here at this, which is why I kind of gave you the backstory there. So I sent you a couple of social media posts in the last week.
Yep.
Social media is interesting. This week I've seen it a few different times where people are very judgmental, and this is not a new thing, okay? People have been judgmental and attacked, but there's a lot of people, Christians, who take to social media and use that as a platform to get on their soapbox and tell everybody why they're wrong.
Yep.
Okay. Here's the problem with that, there's a lot of problems with it. I don't think I can even say here's the problem with that. that is a problem in and of itself. But we have a tendency. So there was a post that I sent you the other day, and I'm not going to get into the details of what it was, because I think if I do that, we're doing the same thing that I'm saying we shouldn't do. But basically, took social media as an opportunity to point out that if you're a Christian, sin is not okay, and that you can't be simple. And you've seen it, you read it, you know what I'm talking about. And I've seen a lot of posts and things on social media lately from people that I respect. I mean, people that I know personally and I respect what their opinions. But it's all about, or there's a lot of focus on the sin and the judgment and the condemnation and avoiding
what you're
hell
doing wrong.
Right. And there's not a whole lot. I feel like on the religious posts that I see, it's probably like a 3-4 to 1 ratio of hellfire and brimstone and judgment compared to love and helping and lifting each other up and unifying, as you said in church Sunday.
Right.
I mean, there's just not that approach to life. It's all about cutting other people down. And and here's the thing. I made this joke made this comment to somebody that it's easy for me to, and we even talked about it on the show, like sometimes you start to look down, you know, try to find sins that you can look down on.
And somebody else is always bigger than yours and better than yours.
We all have, I think I want to use maybe the term spiritual blind spots, maybe, that there are things that, you know, yesterday morning I woke up early and I woke up about 6 a.m. and I can always tell when it's God just talking to me because I'm not naturally a 6 a.m. person.
6 a.m., okay?
You leave me to myself, I'm about an 8:30 kind of guy, all right? But I wake up yesterday morning about 6 a.m. I just toss and turn. I could not sleep, and God's just jabbering at me. He's just, and I can tell what he's talking about, and he's kind of telling me to send Mama a text. Well, I finally send Mama the text. She appreciated it. It was great. Yeah. By about 7:30 last night, I was texting Mama, telling her I was wrong about that. That was not for you. That was for me. God had me write that.
God was just letting me send you that.
It was just sending it ahead to me for later. Because my blind spot snuck up on me yesterday, and there's everybody's got one of those, probably some have a few of them, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that one thing that I can maintain level-headedness and faithfulness and all these things as long as this doesn't happen.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
and I, you know, I love the way you said in church Sunday, every person I interact with today, Lord, please
help me be a blessing.
Right. Show me how to strengthen their faith. You should look for that opportunity with every single person. And I think that we all have, whether it's a person, whether it's a situation that we're dealing with in life, whether it could be a spiritual battle, it could be, there's so many different things that it could be, but we all tend to have that one thing that I can't love that. I can't love that situation. I can't be so generous with that thing. I can't be so gracious with that thing. That thing, being able to be kind and loving and showing those Christ-like qualities in that situation, is the only differentiator between us and everybody else out there. It's the only thing that differentiates Christianity from everything else.
Right.
Is being able to stand in the face of that one thing that you can't. It does. Being nice to the people you like does nothing for God.
Jesus even says that.
Right.
Jesus even says, okay, you love those who are like you, or you love those who are in your family. Good. Pagans do that, but when you love your enemy, now you're talking about supernatural living. Now you're talking about Christ in you, and so you know Jesus says, you know, don't just you've heard it said, love your enemies or hate your love your friends, hate your. No, I'm saying love your enemies too. And so when Jesus says that, he point blank says, yeah, that is what differentiates a Christ likeness than everybody else on the face of the earth.
Well, and in the situation that I flipped on yesterday, I would say it was at least 50% my fault.
Right.
That this situation had come to be. I would say if you polled everybody else who knows the story, it's probably way more than 50% my fault. And if I'm being totally honest, it's probably 100% my fault. Right. I really am grasping to try to find ways to make it anything else's fault. It's my fault. But because it's that blind spot, I'm not going to take that. I'm going to find a way to twist it around if I've got to. I love the way you've said it before, do some gymnastics with the words and the situation.
I
can turn it into a way that not only am I not wrong, but I'm actually very justified in the reason that I'm angry. Okay, we don't have to get into what that is because it probably ain't even true. Okay, but even if I do come up with let's just pick a scenario. You see somebody just being terribly judgmental. Let's use judgment. That's a good one. We all know that we shouldn't judge other people. It's probably one of the most important things that we can remember not to do. So when I see somebody judging somebody, that's the one that I can get mad about that. I can get a little bit, that's okay about that one because that one's bad enough.
Right.
Okay. Drinking's not so bad. You know, sexual immorality's not that bad. Not showing up to church, that's not, I can live with that. But judging other people, that one's not okay.
Being self-righteous.
Yeah, that's not okay. Well, Did you hear the irony in what you just said?
What about on the other? Right. And being self-righteous about someone who's self-righteous.
Right. So when you find, so it's so easy to fall into that trap, though, where you find a sin that's finally bad enough that it justifies not forgiving it.
Right. Or and sometimes that goes back to who the person is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the for me, the crux of the matter is, okay, you know, case in point, I mean, I say this all the time. Somebody does something to me at church, I'm probably not going to get upset. But now Renee or someone in the family and someone I'm close to, now I'm going to be upset. Why is that? I don't know. I mean, this is just a lot of times we base it on who the person is, maybe our past history, good or bad. And I don't know that that is the qualifications that Christ puts on it of, you know, when he says love everyone, it isn't just, okay, those who meet your criteria, those who you've always gotten along with. It's even, you know, and I know there are certain people, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, they're just difficult to love. And they're just, there are some people, I don't think they want to get along with anybody. Yeah, and absolutely. Those people, all right, I'm going to be friendly, I'm going to love them, but at the same time, I'm probably not going to be hanging out with them, you know, at Christmas time, exchanging cards or nothing. But at the same time, I'm not going to be ugly, or and I'm going to do my best to say, all right, when they do something boneheaded, which that's what usually for me, it's people that do boneheaded stuff or continue to do the same things. When you know you've helped them, you've talked to them, you've counseled them, and they'll be good for a while or they'll be living the way they should, but then they always go back, and it just seems to be they don't want to change. And that to me is the folks that I sometimes lose patience with of, come on, man, you're beyond this. You're supposed to be, you're spiritually mature, but yet you're acting that way. And I can get, you know, get to where I can begin to justify, well, it's right for me to be this way. Is it? Because, hey, wait a minute, aren't you the spiritual mature one? So yeah, the Lord kind of sometimes uses those to show us, maybe even ourselves, of, you know, am I the one, is this something more than? And I always, when someone gets mad at me, I usually try to ask, okay, is this really what they're ill at, this little bitty, I left my socks on the floor? Or is it something a little bit more down deep? And oftentimes, if we'll dig deep enough, we'll see that it's something a whole lot bigger down deep that's worse than just the little incident that ticked you off. There's something that made that, I don't know if it's like a, think about it like a old wound that maybe it's got a scab on it, but then something they do or something they say picks that wound, and boy, it starts to bleed again, and it begins to fester. It gets worse, and so it's sometimes you got to go back to that wound or something, that whatever it is, that's a little worse than just their boneheadedness.
Well, and there was another thing that I got from that experience yesterday, and that, I mean, I don't know how late. It probably took me 30 minutes to start to cool back down a little bit. I mean, I don't know exactly. I wasn't timing it. In that little burst, I mean, basically take everything that we've talked about on the show, everything we've worked on, everything that I've talked about, prayed about, just all of it.
Flush
and it. Just set it on fire for about 30 minutes, and I went right back to OG. I mean, just like, and I was so mad at myself, and I hated it so bad, and the only way I could get through it was to find a way to blame it on somebody else. Like, that's the only way I'm going to be able to deal with this. And that's, I mean, obviously totally wrong, but that's the, it also reminded me, it's all by the grace of God. Like, every single day that you go through, that you are able to, I'm always one text away, one phone call away, one thing, whatever that is.
Social media.
Yeah, one social media post. That's a good, I mean, that's a great point. You're always that one thing away from that one. I can't justify. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Not being where you're supposed to be.
Not being where
you're
supposed to be.
Not walking the walk that you want to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing of it is, as you were saying that, we're not that much different than children. If you watch children, we're just slicker at it. And we're smarter than, I mean, we've had years to practice and hone the skills. Mm-hmm. Because you know, hey, look, I had little ones. You get on one, first thing they want to do is point at, you know, well, they did X, Y. They want somebody else to be in trouble, or they want to point away from themselves. Mm-hmm. We're just slicker at it.
Yeah.
That, okay, we know we got this issue, but we want to point at somebody else or blame somebody else for whatever's going on.
Yeah. I want to ask your thoughts on this just little one-liner thing. This was not a really deep one, but I had this thought the other day. We tell our kids be nice. We tell our kids be good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like as adults, we focus a whole lot more on the being good than being nice. I think we need to try to be nice to one another instead of worrying so much about how good people are being and trying to be good. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be good. I'm saying part of being nice is being good.
Well, it's just controlling the terms. You know,
right.
What is good? What is nice?
Mm-hmm. Kindness is what I'm trying to get at there,
and I
really
think it's one of, and for a Christian parent, it's almost one, because I catch myself saying that all the time, is, all right, y'all behave yourselves, be good, you know, and that kind of thing, where I'm trooping on it, it should be, all right, I want your heart to be right with the Lord, then it's not that. I had a football coach that I was chaplain one time, and he would always end the Friday night after the win, all right, boys, don't do nothing stupid, or, you know, y'all go out there and behave yourselves. Don't go out and, you know, make the papers for the wrong reasons or something, whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember just kind of, we were talking, and I said, you know, the thing of it is, you're telling these guys to be good or to be nice. I said, they don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And truth be known, everybody has a sliding scale for what's good and what's nice.
Mm-hmm.
For what's nice is, okay, I smile at a stranger. Or is what nice is being selfless and looking after someone. I mean, we can make that term mean so much that I'm more about, all right, let's get to the heart of matter. Again, going back to the heart of, all right, if your heart's right with the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, all right, then you don't have to worry so much about be nice or be good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, how do you word that for children that they understand it is, you know, as they're growing in their walk is, all right, remember whose you are. And my mom used to say that all the time. Remember whose you are.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, okay, yeah, you have the same last name as me, but you belong to somebody else too, meaning that Christ paid your price. So therefore, don't live like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically her way of putting it.
Yeah.
Is remember whose you are.
Mm-hmm.
And don't do nothing to embarrass the name. Well, it was Pierce or the Lord.
Yeah. And that's the and that's super easy to do here on Tuesdays at 2:00. And when I, you know, and here at church on Sunday,
right.
It'll be
that,
super
that
easy.
That 1 hour.
Yeah.
This other 167.
That's
the
right.
Other 167 Friday night when you're 18 years old with your friends.
Yeah.
20 years old with your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is so much more about the, I could not agree more with what you're saying. It's not about don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's do this one thing, seek the Lord,
right.
And He will fill in everything else there.
Yeah. One of the best things I ever learned about parenting is, okay, parenting a lot of times is, okay, we want to make sure that we get this result.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want my kid to behave themselves in class. I want them to make good grades. I want them to do that. And we do want that. At the same time, there's something that causes all that a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's get that relationship with the Lord right. And a lot of times that takes care of some of the other. And again, that's discipling and that's doing those kind of things where oftentimes we're more concerned about, okay, sit over there, say yes ma'am, no ma'am, say thank you and please. And hey, that's right. Hey, I love a kid with manners because
mm-hmm.
you don't see it much, but I love a kid with manners. And all right, so where do those manners come from? Again, I think it's a fruit of the Spirit more
mm-hmm.
so than just, all right, now, can we train our kids to be like that? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Some have more home raising than others. If you train it without the Lord, then it does become a systematic rule following.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got to do this because I'm supposed to. I've got to be nice because I'm supposed to, rather than, no, it's who I am from the inside out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult thing to, I don't know, it's like I said to you, I think the day after the show, it's hard to describe it until you find it, and then it's still kind of hard to describe it, really, but you feel it.
Right.
You know.
Well, and it is, and I hate to say it is a feeling, but it is walking by the Spirit that,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're doing that, you know, okay, this is what it means to grow in the Lord and walk in the Lord. And again, it's not all by feeling. It's not like the Force on Star Wars, but at the same time, there is a measure of that constant in touch with, that constant communication with, that constant hearing from, and that guidance from
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and I eventually want to get to the sermon from Sunday, and I think that once we get there, it's probably the end of the show because I've got so much to say about it. Sunday was so I know it was Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
But I'm sitting there, like, I was excited for this. I mean,
yeah,
we had talked about it.
I've been nervous all week for it, month, really. Yeah.
We've been, so I hadn't had that long to think about it because I didn't know about it, but we talked about it on Tuesday on the show, and Then we texted a little bit more, and I told you, I think it was Saturday night, maybe.
I was like, hey, it's one of us.
So I was in the front row. I'll be a one and done in the front row. We are not a front row family. Let me go and tell you.
I was wondering if you're going to like that.
I'll be back in the upper deck next week. I wanted.
There's a reason nobody sits there.
There he is.
And then to sit there with young children, I was like, that's bold, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's
very bold. I wasn't afraid of the embarrassment. I knew we were going to be embarrassing. But I didn't care. But I tell you what, good thing, we were running a little late. And I thought, well, this is one. I don't have to worry about being late because nobody's going to take our seats. Mm-hmm. I had committed to the front row. I was going to sit in the front row. I said, nobody will be there.
Nobody. Yeah, I'm telling you. It don't matter what time you get here.
Yeah.
You can sit down there with me.
You always can.
And my wife won't even sit with me down there. That's what's so bad.
So, yeah, I've noticed Renee doesn't sit anywhere close to.
Because, one, she don't want to be down there at the front.
Yeah.
And like I said, if somebody comes to preach, I'm going to go back there and sit with her, and I'll walk up. But, yeah, it is one I've never been able to get her to.
I'll give you an honest analogy for it. It really is like sitting in the first row of a football game. Yeah. I mean, when I say that, I was checking all the boxes. You don't get distracted. Well, I did get distracted by trying to get my kids to quit doing what they were doing.
If you got youngins, you will. Yeah. But there's nobody in front.
Right.
There's no cute babies. There's no, look at that. Watch that guy.
So I don't know if you noticed, but I messed up big time. Not only where I sit, but where I position myself. I set myself on the end with the kids. I'm never on the end. I'm always in the middle. And it's usually Reese beside of me so that she can handle that side. Mm-hmm. And then I get the other side, whichever that is. But I sat on the end, and that was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
So,
hey, you got somebody unguarded out there, man. You're playing a zone.
Man
to man, 1-3.
All right. So let me fill in some. Let me show you behind the scenes things that you did not know from Sunday. Okay. There was a point in time where Christian. Well, at one point we had just got sat down. Christian had to go to the bathroom. We've come in late, sat down, and now I've got to get back up and take him to the bathroom, and then we get about maybe 15 minutes left to go in the sermon, and he says he has to go to the bathroom. And I said, we're not going again. He said, but I have to poop in the potty. I said, well, hold it. And then at the very last minute, right about the time he called, we started the invitation, he said he had picked his nose and he needed to know what to do with the booger. So he handed it to me and I put it in my pocket. So that was how I spent my front row Sunday. So we won't be there again. Yeah. We'll be back in the nosebleed.
Pour a potty and some tissue. Oh, that's great.
But it was a different experience. You've got the sound is different, the light, you're right there at it. Yeah. It was a very different experience, not one I'd want every week, though.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I agree.
But I will say, that was a big sermon. If I was going to have a front row seat, that was one I was glad I was there for because it felt like a big one. I was excited about it. It was great. I'm glad that I got to be there in that seat for it.
I'm telling you, you were nowhere from it. I mean, and that's the thing is, I noticed. Because a lot of times I'll make eye contact with folks I know or just look at trying to read faces. And on the front row, it's hard for me to do that
because
you're up and you kind of. So, yeah, I was kind of wondering about that.
Well, I'll say that I enjoyed it live. I really did. Mm. And it was moving live.
Right.
I've listened to it twice since then, and I've gotten more out of it in the playback both times. I do feel like the first time through, I was distracted by the kids, even though I was trying not to be. I mean, I was trying hard not to be, but, you know.
Well, I can honestly say, just not that you know, but it don't distract me, man. You can have babies crying. You can have people moving. I'm going to keep rolling.
Honestly, I kind of figured we were close enough you were looking over us, honestly. Like
those things don't bother me.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody got up and started yelling or something like that, all right. But that has never bothered me.
Yeah. Well, it was there was one point in time where I actually had to copy off of Reese's bulletin because I got behind on that. Now I was taking notes I had to copy off of her too, which was hilarious.
That's good.
There was an analogy you used in that I loved. The college football players skipping the bowl games.
Right, right.
And I thought about that. When you, especially as I'm trying to work on humility, it's like I'm trying to downplay my skills and trying not to let myself get too boastful and arrogant and things like that. So trying to look at your spiritual gifts, understanding it's not something to ever get arrogant about. It's a gift from God. There's no reason to get arrogant.
That's right. Just like your salvation.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Why are you self-righteous?
Yeah.
You didn't save yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't earn it. It's a gift.
So once you figure that part out and you and that really hits you that, oh, okay, this is something that he gave me and he expects me. Not only is it okay for me to – he fully expects it. And you said they skipped the bowl games and their teams suffered for it. And they did.
It's detrimental to the team.
But I just wrote down to the end of that, this is not the Belk Bowl. This is real life.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is the real deal. And you only get one of them.
That's right.
And would you skip the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
You don't see many teams from Alabama and Michigan.
Look
and
what
Washington.
Travis Kelce did when he had to sit out a play of the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Okay?
Yep.
And we sit out our Super Bowl every day.
That's right. And so, you don't see the top four don't sit out. They're playing for the championship. Now, Florida State, what was it, half the team? For State and Carolina, man, some key players decided, don't need to play. And again, the illustration is just to show that when we don't play, man, it hurts. It hurts the team. Or when we don't use those gifts, there's a piece missing of the puzzle.
When you get a gift and you open a gift, it's our Christmas gifts. Those are for us.
That's for me. Yeah,
but
this is
our spiritual gifts. They're not for us.
They're not. Yeah, that's right. And I think one of the things is, and that as I talk with people preparing this sermon, I always said, I'm not sure I like the word gift because I know what we think of a gift, and we think it's for me. You know, you buy me a bag of peanuts for Christmas. Yeah, I'm gonna keep those, and I don't know that they're gonna make it home. because they might stay in my office and I'm just going to eat them whenever I want them.
Yep.
And that's for me. I'm hoarding them for me. And that's not, God doesn't give you a gift just for you. In fact, he gives it really for everybody else.
Yeah.
If you stop and think about it.
So you've talked about a little bit on the show. You've mentioned this a couple of times. We've never really dug into it very much. And I don't know how much there is to dig into, but you grew up in church, you were baptized at an early age. At some point later in life, you felt the calling to go into ministry. You were an adult at that point, though, and you've mentioned before you had a job and a pretty good job, and it was a big thing. I will ask this, I think it's rhetorical, but I just think I know the answer.
Yeah.
But
hypothetical.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Or well, you go ahead, ask it.
We'll figure out what it is. When you felt that calling to become a pastor, minister. Was it a Sunday morning great service from somebody and you walked up at the front and said, I'm a preacher now and I'm going to walk up and you made that decision? Or was it something you struggled with back and forth for a while?
I think it was, the best way to put it is something I had, it's interesting. I'll share it real quick. I was on a mission trip with some youth. I was leading the mission trip and we were in Warrenton, Virginia. And I was up on top of the roof, and we were working all week long, and just felt like the Lord was doing something in my life. And I had been watching him. He had had me teaching Sunday school classes. He had had me leading a bunch of other stuff in the church and teaching youth. And, I mean, I was constantly doing things. And then the Lord just, on that mission trip, it was just something as simple as, no, Lord, I think this is what the Lord's calling me to do. And I'll let you know, I went home scared to death that Renee's going to think, oh, you've lost your mind. We're a young family. We got kids. How are we going to do this? And when I told her, I mean, her response was, well, I knew he'd been doing that. Just waiting for you to hear it. And that confirmed it to me that I was like, thank goodness for a good godly spouse that knew, okay, yeah, I knew this was happening. It's just you didn't see it, but I knew it was coming, and yeah, we're good with it. Let's go.
Do you happen to know, or y'all may have talked about it later, how long she had seen it coming?
No, I think it had been probably a couple months at least.
Did you know it at that time? You didn't know it during the 2 months she saw it?
No. I'll be honest with you. I really didn't think so either. I enjoyed what I did for a living. I didn't want to leave it, to be honest. Like I said, making good money and loving what I did, and felt like, okay, Lord, you got me in a public setting or just a company. I get to influence a whole lot of people that don't know Christ, so this is where I need to be. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I want you to be at the church or be a minister. And like I said, I mean, it was one of, in the back of my mind, I knew he had given me a couple of gifts, like we talked about, and it was just, okay, Lord, how do we want to use this? How do you want me to use it? And that's how it came about. It really did.
This is just really curiosity. What's the process from that point for you? I mean, because I know it's probably different for each church in terms of like if right. you want to be like what their qualifications are.
I think it's different for each church. I think it's different for each person. For me, what I did was I came home, talked to Renee about it. I then went and talked to my pastor at the time and sat down with him, and he helped work through, okay, what does a call look like? What exactly do you sense going on here? And, you know, at the same time, you know, as he told me, and I wasn't planning on anyway, is, all right, if you think he's called you, continue to do what your present roles are, and then we'll see how he opens doors or what he does, and just continue to be faithful to what he puts before you in the present. Yeah. And that's all we did. And then as time developed, it became obvious that for the senior pastor here was, yeah, I'm gonna bring the guy on staff and let him be, you know, let him do what he's already doing, only mm-hmm. do it full time. And that's really how it started, was here at the church. So I'm kind of a unique, you don't see many people who get their call and then stay at the church where they grew up. Mm-hmm. That don't happen much at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, sometimes I'm amazed that I do get to do that. Most of the time it's, okay, it's a different church, or you go somewhere else. And so it is, each church is different, but if you feel like, you know what, I feel like this is God's kind of opening doors or moving me or calling me into a new ministry, the best thing to do is find a spiritual mentor or pastor or someone who's been down that road before that says, okay, tell me about it. Mm-hmm. And they help guide you, help to lead you, and then we see where we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you mentioned in church, this was to me, it was one of the highlight reels, highlight moments. Now, teach their own on that.
Yeah.
By the way, which I meant to say this sooner, if you've only got an hour to do something this week to spend with God this week, I encourage you to go watch the sermon for
and
Sunday.
You can fast forward. It's only 35
it's only 35 minutes. Or 40 minutes if you want to get through the song.
Just go to about.
Yeah. But it was a really good sermon. I would strongly encourage.
And it's one, I mean, the more I went home and I thought about the sermon, and oh man, what should I have done different? I always do that. I critique myself. And one of the things is I came away with, you know, this is a message that if you want to make your life count, I believe it goes back to, okay, those gifts God's given you, use them. You'll impact people for the kingdom. Your life will be enriched. Joy will be magnified. I mean, it is amazing. As I look back, and the thing of it is I put this sermon together, I didn't realize, but I took the time to look back at, okay, Lord, the gifts you've given me and times that I've seen you use them in ways that impacted people, those are some of the best times of life, man. Yeah. And that's where he really wants us to be. If we're going to glorify God, it's using those gifts.
Yeah, and one of my favorite, the highlight reel moment that I was going to refer to there is, there was a point where you described very beautifully, there's going to come a day where I stand before God,
yeah.
and he's going to ask me, what did I do with my gifts? Mm-hmm. And whose lives did you impact with your gifts? Well, you're a pastor, okay. You've spoken to thousands,
quite a few folks,
tens of thousands of people probably in your lifetime, so you've affected a lot of them. But let me tell you, and I want to thank this Valentine's Day week, so I want to thank the most special woman in my life for reminding me of this last night at 1 o'clock in the morning. My mama said this, but she said something that helped me to realize this. You might have spoken to 10,000 people, but let me tell you, when you stand before God and he says, whose life did you change? I really want to be the one that stands up and says, can I speak for him, please?
Well, you're
because you're that, it's not about changing a million lives.
Mm.
It's about changing a person.
Yeah, but always
any
break
way
it down.
You can, as many times as you can. It's that one person.
And I think that's where a lot, and this is just me personally on a soapbox right now, I think that's where a lot of pastors get it wrong of, okay, I got to speak to mega church and mega things. And no, sometimes if you look at what Christ did, okay, he had his 12, but inside that 12, he had his 3. And inside those 3, man, he really poured his life into those 3. And then in turn, those 3 poured their lives into and it magnifies out. And so I think it's one of, as a pastor that, you know, spoke in front of a bunch of people. No, I think it all, and I'll be honest with you. There are times when I have to remind myself, all right, if you're such a great speaker, go ask your wife what point number two was of the sermon last week. Yeah. Or better yet, Ben, what was point number two of your own sermon last week? Oh, Lord. Man, I've done spoke four times since then. And so, you know, so it's not, and I've always heard this, and I believe this with all sincerity, and I've heard it this way at a funeral I did one time. And it was a funeral for a man that we all loved, and he impacted a lot of lives, and he taught Sunday school. And people from his Sunday school class said, you know what, looking back, I don't know that I'll remember many of his Sunday school lessons. He might have said some things that he said, but what impacted me was the time that he did this. And those are the times that really reach people, I believe, on a one-on-one basis. Now, granted, yes, great, you know, God can use teachers and bring us closer to the Lord and challenge us. But at the same time, man, it's that one-on-one interaction, that time that someone took the time just to show you they cared. Or maybe took the time to just say a kind word. Those are the times that really impact people if you really stop and think about it.
My purpose for bringing that up is because I've said something along those lines to you off record, whatever you want to call it, with it not recording. But I don't bring it up to tell you how great you are.
No.
I bring it up to say, from my perspective, from the recipient of that gift. Okay. To imagine my life had you hoarded it really makes me think, I'm glad he listened to God.
Yeah.
That's why I bring up how much did you struggle with making the decision to do this? Because I sure am glad you picked it, you know. But I don't mean to cut you off before you can say something, but
No.
Think about the domino effect of that too, okay? I mean, not that we have 25 people or so that listen to the podcast, and that's great, but every person you impact then goes on to impact somebody else and goes on to somebody else. You don't have to change a million lives. If people go out and just are nice to each other, we have a lot of people in this church.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people in this country who believe in God and who are Christians. If every one of us just took the initiative to maybe be a little nicer to one person.
Or if we'll let the light shine. That's all. That's let the light shine in us. Yeah. And, you know, going back just a little bit further back, there was a time, and I actually sat down and wrote this fellow a letter. There was a guy that, and again, one person impacting another that, who knows what can come from it. But I was, let's see, we hadn't even had children yet. So let's put me at about 25 years old. And there was a guy, I was in a Sunday school class with a bunch of young married couples, but we were the youngest, and there was a bunch of, you know, 30s that they had children. Renee and I didn't have any children at the time. And the teacher, I'm going to tell you what he did. He made me mad, but then what he said was true. And what he did was, before church started one day, I was right after Sunday school, between Sunday school and church, I was walking by. He grabbed me by the arm and he said, I need to talk to you for a second. Okay, what you grabbing me for or whatever? And he looked at me with all sincerity. And he said, let me tell you something. You need to be teaching that class. God's giving you an ability, and you sitting on your backside ain't doing nobody no good. And I said, I walked away, went home. Man, I was so, who's he to tell me what I need to be doing? I was hot. And Renee and her, you know, wisdom just said, he's got a point. You're right. He's right. And it was that started it. And so sometimes it's just a one person saying, look, man, you got a gift. Use it. Or, hey, have you ever thought about this? And one person can make a big difference in your life. So you're exactly right. If it's being kind, sometimes it's I hate to say calling a brother out, but it's calling somebody out to say, you got this gift. You share things in Sunday school that you need to be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so that probably, honestly, that probably was the kickstart or the spark, if you will, that started, you know, a 2-year process, 3-year process of discovering God's call. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just think about one person doing that. Now, I don't know if that's a spiritual gift as much as maybe it's exhortation, encouraging someone to, you need to step in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way he did it probably didn't encourage me much, but and I think he knew, hey, man, if you want to make Ben move, you know, challenge him at who he is.
Yeah. That makes sense, and then you can take that back and I mean, heck, you could take that back one more step to somebody that said something to him a long time
ago. That's right. Who impacted him? And you keep going back. And I dare say you'll probably all go all the way back sooner or later, if you go generation after generation, back to the main source. And maybe from that 1 to 3 to 12 to, I mean, it all came from one.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool.
Well, I'll tell you, I was really quick. I know you said we could have take a couple of weeks to fill out our spiritual gift survey. We had been talking about it. I'd been praying on it. It didn't take me long because I left church and went straight home. And it's like, I can't wait to get home and fill this thing out.
But pregame ain't started yet.
I filled it out. I worked on it over the weekend. I didn't do it right away. I mean, I chipped away at it. To some extent, it confirmed some things I'd already been thinking.
I think that's what it should do for most people.
I think for me, I was just like, yep. Now, there might have been did I go into that with some bias or something? I don't know.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, but I'll be curious to get your thoughts on it when we do. But to me, I know we talked about it a lot in the fall, but coaching is back in my mind as something that I love it. I mean, we got beat last week, but the way we got beat made me want to coach more. And it's an interesting thing to look at. But then also take every thought captive to Christ. When I look at coaching kids basketball, I don't have to look very far to see, is this something that God could use me to do cool things with this and help these kids see him and his way of seeing the world and how many good things can come of that. Now, is that going to change the world? No. 10, 12 kids? But look what Jesus did with 10 or 12 kids. Yeah.
If you make a difference in one.
I guess when somebody asked me this week, really good question. I want to ask it to you too. Do you ever get a feeling that, you hear God tell you to do something and you think, I do not want to do that. Maybe even, you probably don't do this very often, but it's real easy to say, I'm not doing that. Yeah. Not that. And then you get that imminent sense of, oh, yes, you are, too.
Yeah, you better.
You know you don't have a choice. Right. You know you have to do it. And you know you're going to do it.
Right.
You're not happy about it, but you know you're good. Do you ever have that?
Oh, sure you do. Sure you do. I mean, I think it's one of, remember, there's always going to be that battle inside of us. Walk by the Spirit, walk by the flesh. Which one are you going to feed the most is the one that's going to win the battle. But I think there's always going to be things, even when we walk by the Spirit, sometimes making a phone call, man, I really don't want to do that, but I know I got to. Whether it's to encourage them or to, thank them for what they did or something. So, yeah, that's just part of, I'm not immune to any of that. I go through the same things everybody else does. Man, I sure would rather be doing something else right now.
It's a funny feeling, and it's that happens to me a lot, and I hate the feeling because I know I've got to do it. I know it's not optional. And it's not even I don't know if I want to share this story. It's so funny, but it's so self-deprecating. I don't think I want to.
We're good at it. We're good at it here. I'll
get back to it. Hang on. But I have had that happen before, but I'm going to have to tell it. There ain't another way. There ain't another bridge. There ain't a better bridge. I'm trying to find one. So I had a girl I was seeing one time that, it wasn't that she dumped me necessarily, but I tried to say basically, okay, God's will, I accept it, whatever. He kind of looked at me like, well, good on you, but it wasn't your choice in the first place. It was hers, but second of all, my will is undefeated.
Right.
You told me you wanted my will, and it will be done. I didn't ask you. And you can do what I ask you to do.
Right.
Or I'll make you do what I asked you to do, but you're going to do it. You know you're going to do it. Why are you fighting it? And you should take the path of less resistance and go ahead and do it the first time.
Well, I think we all have those moments of Jonah in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah said, nah, I'm not going to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going the opposite of Nineveh. I'm going to jump on a boat and go the other way, and God, ain't much you can do about it. Well, God said, no, you're going to Nineveh, boy. And ended up costing him probably double fare because where the, it ended up costing him a lot more into his pocket than it did. And then all the other stuff he had to go through. But he ended up preaching there. And I don't want to take away, we still have free will, of course.
Sure.
And we can refuse at the same time. Yeah, there are times that the Holy Spirit won't let you stop, won't let you just say, No, he's going to continue to say, all right, now, is there a time when we can cut that off? Sure, we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. Of when you quench the spirit to the point of then our conscience being seared to the point of we ain't even heard the first thing of it.
Well, and I think back to that phrase, or phrase warning signs. You asked me a lot in an episode about warning signs. Yeah, I mean, there's times that I've gone a path where it's like, I know this ain't what he wants, but you just... And the way we do it, we don't directly... Well, I don't. Maybe I can't speak for everybody on this one. I don't directly tell God, no, I'm disobeying. I heard you very clearly. Right. You told me not to do this, but I'm disobeying. Right. I go, that wasn't God. That was God.
We make it something else.
Yeah, and I don't think he was that... maybe he did mean it, but he'll forgive me. You find ways to... But now... And I'm not saying it's something special now. I felt this way before, and it's by the grace of God. I hope I feel it every time he tells me this. But now when I have that feeling of, do I want to maybe just kind of hope he's not looking, and maybe I get that reminder of, don't ever forget how difficult and inconvenient it can be to try to go against what I've told you. That's why I say God's will is undefeated. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, but his will be done. Right. In the end,
that's right.
Everybody loves a good Cinderella story and an upset team and somebody's 100-point underdog that pulls it off. If you're prone to like to bet on the underdog, then pick yourself a Division II school and saddle up with them.
That's right.
But don't do it with God.
No, that's right. That's right.
If you're a child of God, his will is undefeated. He's going to be faithful to
his sovereignty, and nothing stops what he wants to accomplish. I mean.
But that's also where you can sit back and enjoy the ride a little bit and stop taking so much control over everything and try to make run the show.
I mean,
it's his, and let him do it. You know, I was thinking, this was a kind of a side note. I don't know how much time we've got here. We've got probably, we're getting there. So, a lot of times, this week's actually been pretty clean, but a lot of times this show, I'm 10 minutes late and you're 15 minutes late. And a few weeks ago, we only had really about 40 minutes of recording time. And, you know, this week we're trying to decide. I was so upset that we weren't maybe not going to be able to do it this week, because I'm thinking after last week, I can't wait. It's whatever God wants it to be. You know what I mean? Like if we only get 42 minutes of recording instead of an hour this week, that's totally fine. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Everything doesn't have to be the way you wanted it to be and the way you saw it and the way you envisioned it to be.
And look, that plays out in so many ways, though. I mean, I stop and I think about how that plays out in my life. Is, okay, I get there on a Sunday morning. Let's say the weather's terrible and it's half a crowd. Mm-hmm. I could sit there and but 20 people here. No, I always do it of, God, you got the person, you got the people here, you want to be here. Mm-hmm. And whether it's live stream, other thing else, I'm not worried about, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to what you've called me to be. And so many times we can get so worked up on, well, it wasn't exactly what I thought, or it wasn't this, and we get all bent out of shape when we should say, no, Lord, again, I want to go back to be faithful to what you called me to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it has its pain. Hey, if you want to grow in your spiritual gifts, that's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. Growth ain't easy.
No.
In fact, growth is pretty difficult, whether mm-hmm. it's faith, whether it's anything you want to accomplish.
Yeah. And that was another thing you said on Sunday, growth isn't easy. And that's such an important thing to remember. I think I mentioned the text that I sent to my mom on the show, but that was a part of it. I know I read it to you before we were recording, because I can't pull up my phone while I'm recording. But that was a part of what I had said to her, and that is that the challenges that you're going to face today, God's not going to waste them and not use them as an opportunity to grow you.
Hurt, I just didn't
know he was talking. I was really talking about me, but I did.
That's right.
But it's he doesn't waste that opportunity, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, and it doesn't mean that he thinks you think it's going to be easy. He doesn't expect you to be happy about it necessarily.
Right.
Well, I don't know. He doesn't expect you to be happy about it, but you should appreciate his faithfulness and knowing that he is going to deliver something.
Well, I think that's why he says, rejoice evermore. Be thankful in all circumstances. Mm-hmm. Not thankful for the circumstances.
There you go.
But I can be thankful in it. In the fact of, even in the midst of this mess that is going on, God, you're always faithful. And God, I know you got me. And so, yeah, there. And instead of when we find ourselves in those times when life is difficult and everything else, a lot of times it's easy just to turn into, I hate to say it, a whining, complaining baby.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, because look, that's the easy route. And that's almost the, let's just call it what it is. That's the human route.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're called to be new creations in Christ. And when we're called to be new creations in Christ, I got to be thankful. And yeah, no, I'm not thankful for the pain. I'm not thankful for everything I'm going through, but I'm thankful I'm not alone in this. I'm thankful that even in the midst of this, God, you're going to grow me, or you're going to show something about yourself to me, you know. So, and again, I think we've talked about this. When we find ourselves in those hurts and pains, it's not always about why. Why is this happening to me? I always want to ask who. Who are you going to be, God? What are you showing me about yourself? Mm-hmm. Whether it's the loss of a 16-year-old niece, God, I know you're going to show yourself to be faithful. And mm-hmm. He did. Mm-hmm. You're going to show yourself to be a comforter. You're going to show yourself to be, and again, God used that most painful thing in my life, really to impact a lot of people that I would never had the opportunity to.
Yeah, that was a painful one to even observe.
Be around.
Yeah. Like that was, I remember that day.
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
I think you were probably in church the day I shared it a little bit later, about a year later,
mm-hmm.
A letter I'd gotten from a stranger in Lumberton, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
who saw the report on the news, began to do some research, listened to me preach the funeral and the message, and got saved. Mm-hmm. And so there's a part of me that says, wait a second, Lord, you can turn that into that guy in Lumberton that I've never met, never would have met.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, you changed his eternal destiny from a message I preached on a Sunday right after, you know, like, what, 12 hours later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was I still don't know how we got it through, other than that's the Lord, man.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, it's incredible, and that's the thing that it's, you don't know how you did it. He can do anything. Like, that's the thing. And anytime you sit there and say, well, he can't do anything good out of this situation. He can do good out of almost every situation, but he can't this one. That's back to what I was saying earlier. That's the thing you can't do. Take it to the whatever that thing is. That, for me, I said it on the show one time, my kids are that thing, right? Like, that's mine.
Yeah, don't touch them. Yep.
Don't you get to my kid. Somebody hurts my kids.
Oh yeah, you're ready to fight,
right?
We're
that's what you can't. That's the point. Like, it's that, find that one thing that you say, I will not forgive that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you find Jesus, because that's where you find,
you get beyond yourself,
right? Yep. You have to. That's the thing you have to get past, is that you have to forgive every single thing,
yep.
Every single one,
and that also
most especially the one you hate the most.
Yep, and that kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. You know, that times that we can be judgmental or get angry at somebody else, we have to go back to what is it that's behind that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like I said, I know I can get more upset towards somebody else because, well, probably more than likely there's something deep down inside, mm-hmm. that either they did something to me years and years ago, or I don't, you know.
You got your own biases. I mean, everybody has biases on it, you're right. I mean, there's things we like more than others and things like that, but you just have to, I don't know, you have to kind of say, okay, then let's just rearrange the shoes on these feet a little bit and put me as that person and Jesus as me.
Right.
How does that work out?
That's right.
No, not well. So,
How much time?
We got a couple minutes, but we've got all the time we need. I've got edit time and stuff. I was just kind of glance and make sure I'm in the ballpark.
I was just curious. I wanted to, get your take on it. I know I'm still formulating it in my mind because I still want to. I've been lazy, I'll be honest. It's not like I ain't had time, or I just have not taken the time to do it. I've always had other things to do, or I forget it. But he gets us. Mm-hmm. Did you see that commercial?
I did. Well, I saw the first one with the washing feet.
Yeah,
I think I saw the second one later.
Yeah. I don't know if I saw a second one.
Was there a second one?
I saw the first one.
That was the washing feet.
Yeah,
okay.
And I saw it with my father-in-law, who is a spiritual mentor of mine, love him. And we both kind of looked at each other like, How about that? And he even said, I like that. Now he's I love him. I love the way he thinks. He's all the time challenging me to think differently, and I love that. And but it's amazing. I went was just looking at some of the stuff last night, and there was some Christians who were mad at it. And I'm sitting here like, okay, well, help me to understand why. And well, Christ only washed the disciples' feet, not, you know, the transvestite in San Francisco, which that's one of them that you'll see. And I, you know, part of me is like, look, man, the fact that he gets us is the fact that regardless of who we are, man, he understands our hurts, our pains, and he's willing to forgive us of all the things that we've done. And so I was sitting there like, come on, man, this is, and it really was. It was very, I don't know, I like it for the fact, Doc, at least it made you think.
Well, I'll give you my answer to it. I was distracted, obviously, by the a room full of kids. Gabe had some kids come over. Not a ton. Well, we had three or four boys over there. And, you know, they're watching the game. So I saw a commercial, and I watched it. I would say by about the third or fourth frame, mm-hmm. I started to pick up on, I think this is one of those He Gets Us commercials.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that's really cool that we're seeing He Gets Us in Super Bowl. That's great.
And like I said, I want to go out on, again, dummy, get with it, go look at it, because it's, I mean, if it's on the Super Bowl, how many 128 million people saw it, I guess, give or take?
Yeah. So here's my answer. Not because I'm a good person, but because I was distracted by kids,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the best possible answer that you could possibly have. I did not even notice that the commercial was about transvestites and things like that.
Well,
I just saw
it just
people
had
washing
black,
feet.
White, I just had people anything washing feet. That would be, and that's what I loved about it is, okay, rather than being enemies, which that's what it really kind of pictured it as. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end you have black and white, you have, you know, anything. Oh, I think there was one that was, maybe had been don't quote me on this, a nun in front of an abortion clinic. Okay. Washington. I mean, it really went to those places of, okay.
So that's what I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, if you get a chance, I had to sit there and think to myself, okay, this is getting the name of Christ out to, you know, 123 million people, but at the same time, is this the right Christ? I'm sitting here saying, well, hey, he went to tax collectors and sinners.
Yeah.
And it was the self-righteous that was always like, I can't believe. In fact, that's what we're talking about this Sunday in the sermon, is the self-righteous were over there. I can't believe you eat with them. I can't believe you. Why? If you were any kind of teacher, if you were any kind of holy man, you wouldn't have anything to do with these folks. Yeah. Well, that ain't the kind of Jesus we got. He came to seek and to save. He came to call the sick that need the doctor, not the righteous.
I saw a commercial on back to social media. I saw a comment on that commercial from somebody. I don't even know who it was. It wasn't what they posted on Facebook, but there was a comment in there that said basically anything, whatever gets people talking about Jesus, I'm fine with it. I think I tend to fall. To an extent.
A little bit much.
Yeah,
on
you
that.
Can. But I'll say this. I mean, and this kind of ties back into witnessing, which we've talked about a little bit. And witnessing has always been one that was really difficult for me until more recently, as I've started to kind of realize witnessing ain't that complicated either.
It's just sharing.
So for me, I enjoyed that because 4, 10, 11-year-old boys sitting around watching the game, and they're really confused by the commercial and say, what's this? What's this? What's this? What's this? And then at the end, somebody said, I think the end of the commercial said something about Jesus didn't teach hate.
Yeah.
Jesus washed feet.
Mm-hmm.
I think when the first part of that came up, one of the kids said, oh, that's true. Jesus didn't teach on hate. And then it's the next thing said, Jesus washed feet. And one of the kids said, he didn't. And I just said, actually, he did.
Yeah.
And that was all that was said. Yeah. I just said, actually, he did. That was the end of the conversation. But no, he did.
Yeah.
I mean, like, now, if you want to get into the rest of the commercial, I don't know. But yeah, that is true. Yes, yeah. He did wash feet.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. And it was, and again, not planning to play politics here, but a lot of the religious right were like, oh, see, this is a left wing, you know, we're just about supposed to be accepting of sin and everything else. I don't think that's what it's talking about. I think it's talking about, look, we're going to reach more people with love than we are hate. and we're going, you know, and again, I'm not saying that stuff's right. I'm not saying it's a sin. At the same time, and we've talked about this on the show, is, look, let's not treat people like second-class citizens.
Yeah.
I want to treat people as someone created in the image of God. That you know, and again, I know there's a time for holiness, and we're called to be holy just as He is holy. But that holiness is also understands that, except for the grace of God, go I.
So I still want to tread carefully and not go too far on this, but I do want to ask your specific opinion on like three things from that text that I sent you, mm-hmm. the screenshot the other day.
Right.
So the context of that is a person that's in a position of spiritual leadership, okay, mm-hmm. maybe a fair way of saying that,
right.
without just telling too much. This yep. spiritual leader mm-hmm. starts the post by basically saying, without even seeking the Lord, this is what I did next.
Yep, yep.
To me, that's your problem. You should have, I don't care if you were right or wrong afterwards.
Right.
Without seeking the Lord yep. was the problem. My question though is, why did that person put that on social media? They should have proofread at least that part to realize they shouldn't be putting out that we're doing things without seeking the Lord
yeah.
first.
And again, I think that kind of goes back to sometimes as pastors, sometimes we think we're on autopilot that, oh, okay, I can just, you know, we're good. I can just keep glide on in. Well, no, you seek the Lord in every situation. And you're right. I sure wouldn't have posted without seeking the Lord. I just went ahead and just did what I did.
Yeah.
And it was one of, and I love how you ask me sometimes of what's your response to this? And I'm kind of like, well, you know, and I'll give sometimes the benefit of the doubt. When folks respond to the message, the music's playing, it's loud, you can't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I struggle to hear. Sometimes it's just understanding exactly what's going on.
The second thing about that kind of bugged me a little bit, and I'll admit that I'm going way out on a limb right here, okay? There was nothing in that post where there was ever actually an admission that the person was even right
mm-hmm.
about their assumption. Right. They made an assumption. But the point is, I'm going there for the specific reason of, look, I don't want to go too far on this that I swing so far to say that, like, sin's acceptable. I'm not saying sin's okay. I'm not saying that we should get to a point where it's just do whatever you want to do and live in grace and forgiveness. And all that. So it's the opposite. When you seek God's whole heart, He breaks yours
right.
with the sin.
Yeah, for
you don't
what's
want to.
In your life.
I've stopped doing things I didn't have any problems whatsoever because He's made me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a few here lately I've quit that I'm just like, I did not want to quit that.
Yeah.
I had no desire to quit that.
Yeah.
But He made me, so it's all right, fine. But you don't, there's a difference in rejecting the sin and rejecting the sinner.
Right.
And
I think that's the whole part that I want to help folks get by. Because look, again, it goes back to those two words that you and I really have been struggling with and hate: self-righteousness. and so many times we come at it at such a self-righteous attitude that, man, I'll go ahead and let you know, I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. I mean, you've already judged me as being the, you know, worst person on earth or whatever. No, get to know me, or at least, you know, talk to me a little bit about, you know, what's going on. And granted, if they're like this situation, if you know there's something that's wrong or something that's not, you know, up to snuff, then sit down and talk with them. Sometimes it might just need some counseling more so than just judgment.
Well, and there was a post that I saw again from someone that I have a ton of respect for, and I don't. And there's a tiny part of me, and I. Don't worry. I say don't worry. Feel free to disagree with me if I'm wrong about this. I don't think that God's telling me to, like, comment on these things that I disagree with, because that's just doing the same thing in a big way. But I see these things. It's like, I know this person knows the Lord, 100% know mm-hmm. that. And I know that their heart's in the right place with what they're trying to say here. And I agree with 99% of what they're saying, but I don't think that they get... This is my self-righteous way of looking at it. I think that they're missing the most important 1%. That 1% is the difference maker. And one post that I saw was it was a T-chart of, I don't remember exactly how it was broken down, but basically false Jesus and real Jesus, okay? And basically saying the real Jesus was this way and this Jesus that we're teaching today is this other way. And I agree with almost all of it. The only thing that bothers me about this post is that the left side, the number one bullet, is that Jesus taught nothing but love.
Right.
And real Jesus didn't do that. Well, no, real Jesus taught only about love. And again, I agreed with everything else except that one should have been on the right side, and it was the most important one to me, is that he taught on love, not
all the
on
time.
Sin.
My
that
new commandment I give you,
yes.
That you love one another. This is how you will know you're my disciples, by your love for one another.
Yeah.
I mean, it is constant. I mean, there is no way to get around him teaching on love and what it means to love your enemies. And to, I mean, we've talked about it on the show,
And again, not a specific post, and this, we're, I'm going to have to quit because it's turning into a second episode.
Right.
You said last week we're going to be a two-parter. Well, this is a two-in-one.
Yeah.
But the concept of, well, the self-righteous crowd is going to go around and say, well, you know, Jesus, yes, he forgave sin, but he said sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said sin no more, but that's all he said was sin no more. He didn't give a very long lecture about it, because here's an idea. Maybe that person was so grateful that he knew that that's about all he had to say.
Yeah.
Sin no more.
And I think he had the advantage of being Jesus.
It helped.
And a little bit of that. but I mean, think about the woman at the well, John 4. He confronted sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he even said, all right, well, go get your husband. The one you had four husbands, the one you're living with ain't your husband. And, you know, he confronted it. But he was still gracious and got her to the point of, man, she became a missionary. She went to the town and told her, I think we found a Messiah.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the town's coming, and the town even says, we believe him, not because of you, mm-hmm. woman at the well, it's because of his own words. And so I think there's a time there. Yeah, there's time for confronting. There's a time for loving. There's a time for grace. There's a time for truth. And I think it always goes back to speak the truth in love. It's not a speak the truth and thereby condemn everybody because you're better than them.
Yep.
It's speak the truth in love, knowing that, hey, man, it's only by the love of God that I'm in his family, and it's only by the grace of God that I've been saved. So I think oftentimes we go to the Gospels and we look at Jesus, and we have to really, man, it paints such a, he's so far beyond us that try to say, oh, this is how he would be in this situation. Because when you started talking about social media postings. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there thinking to myself, you know, that'd be a great article to write or a great book to write. How would Jesus handle social media? I'm sitting here thinking, after today, I don't know. You know, because I don't think he would be one of these who's posting everything about what's wrong with everybody. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I don't think he would be one of these that's just, oh, let's just, you know, move. And so I wonder, again, how he would handle social media. Part of me says I wish he'd handle like me and just not be on it.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm at right now, is I just don't get on it much. But I also think that's part of maybe what I'm questioning a little bit, is maybe I should be a little bit more active on it.
Right.
I'm not going too far with it because I don't particularly care for it.
Right.
But you said, well, what would Jesus look like on social media? Well, I don't know what he would look like. I think I saw something the other day that I would like to say is what it would look like. And that is, when you see those posts, you can ignore them. I think that's probably the second best thing to do, or maybe, and in some cases, the best. But I think you can attack the idea behind that without attacking the post itself.
Yeah.
And I
said, or the person who posted it.
When you see someone, they're not spreading hate, but they're spreading self-righteousness, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You can self-righteously attack that and judge that, or you can just focus on maybe posting something of your own that is talking about the loving side of that same coin. You don't even have to necessarily attack that single person in the way you do that.
Yeah.
It's.
I mean, I've gone about it several different ways. I've even, sent the person a message just saying, hey, man, so it's just you and me. Nobody knows.
Yep.
But, hey, man, you don't really need to say all that. Or, hey, think about what you're saying. You are a brother in Christ, and you're not putting forward a good picture. Or, hey, man, let's think about this. I mean, because I've even had some folks that when I was on social media that came at me to the point of, that's when I said, I told Renee, I said, this is about the useless mess I've ever seen. I'm off. And all I did was post, dadgum, I want to go to the App State game during COVID, and man, I had somebody say, you're a pastor, you don't get to say anything about the governor. And I was like, oh no, I'm a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing I know, about 10 people came to my defense and just attacked the guy. And I finally talked to the guy privately, and I said, look, man, just hey, we're good, we're friends. I ain't mad at you. I'm just going to move on. And I think that was about some of the last I was like, I don't need this in my life. Because I've never known anybody, honestly, and I may be wrong here, I've never known anybody to say, whoa, look at that post. And then the argument later has convicted me, and I'm ready to change my mind.
You're never going to change somebody's mind once they're, like that. Yeah. One of the things that I've started to understand, one of the most efficient things that I can do is to stop an argument as soon as I figure out that I can't change that other person's perspective.
I can't win this.
You know, and honestly, if you're honest with yourself, you figure that out a lot sooner in a conversation than you might have realized before.
But we are obstinate and hard-headed.
But how Jesus would handle social media is, I don't think you attack. Let's just imagine it as a big old bottle of water, and you can put black water in there or white water or clear water in there. Mm-hmm. Well, if you see the black water, you can go after the black water and try to get that out, or you can try to add more clear water in and drown it out. Right. I think we need to be adding more of the clear water in to drown out the black than trying to just spread love, and the hate will get drowned out.
Maybe that's the whole thing, is, you know, just spread a little love and kindness.
You don't have to.
And walk by the Spirit.
There's a way to show the world that spreading love doesn't have to mean walking sinfully.
That's right. Or okay? Accepting everything.
Or accepting sin. It's not, you don't, if you're spreading love, you don't like sin.
Yeah.
You just don't like any sin.
Right.
Okay? Not just those ones that are
just
convenient
for
you.
Just the ones that really get on your nerves.
Right.
Or the biggies.
Yeah.
As we like to call them.
Yeah.
And no, I think you're exactly right. And I think there needs to be that, maybe it's that quest for holiness, that yearning for holiness that, hey, in my own life and in others, that, again, not looking for, you got to be perfect and I'll do these things. No, it should be a yearning in my own life, wanting to see other people walk with the Lord.
I want to go ahead and just thank the Lord right now for what he just told me, because that was perfect timing for you to say something that helped me realize the analogy that I've been looking for to nail this thing
well,
down.
Well, there you are, man.
Our basketball team on Saturday. I'll be honest, we're way better than this team. Okay, I've been looking forward to playing this team for 3 weeks.
This is an
easy dub.
Yeah, man.
My guys couldn't have hit a school bus out there in the parking lot if you put a gun to their head and made them. And they were trying.
They're playing like straight.
They were trying their best. But Gabe starts off the game by 0-for-4, and I said, hey, man, just keep shooting it. Yeah. They're going to go in. They're going to go in.
Shooter's got to shoot.
Yep. He kept shooting it. He kept missing. He kept shooting. He kept missing.
At least you're consistent.
That's right. And to be fair, I would normally say if somebody's gotten to 0-for-8, 0-for-10, quit giving them the ball. You couldn't, because the whole team was 0-for-10.
Yeah.
Nobody could hit anything.
Nobody's throwing
it. It was the most insane thing ever. All right, here is your self-righteousness right now.
Yeah.
We're walking out of the game, and Gabe wants to know how many points, how did he ask this question? He asked me something like,
who's the lead scorer today?
Or he said, no, he said, at least that's what it was.
There you go.
He said, at least mine rimmed out a couple of times or something along.
I almost scored.
Why are we arguing over who the best shooter missing was? Yeah. Like, we lost the game because none of y'all could shoot. Okay? Yeah. If you were 0-for-10 and you were 0-for-12, I don't care.
Yeah.
But that's where we are. We're losing because none of us can shoot. And we're saying, well, at least I was only 0-for-9.
Yeah,
he was 0-for-12.
The rim, the inside of the rim.
Yeah. The rim.
Yours are air balls and swishers on the outside.
Exactly.
Yeah, come on, man.
Exactly.
And they're all missing. and that goes back to what it means to be a team. Also, what it means to, I mean, there's so many analogies. That's why I think Paul was such a big sports fan.
Yeah.
See, he's all the time using it. And use it too, because it's something I understand.
I love it too. And it's, I try to be careful not to only use sports, but there is a lot of sports in what we're talking about here, Tur. It's easy to find.
We get
things.
It. We understand that.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to send a shout out. Can I?
Yes, absolutely. Please.
Shout out to a new guy that's been listening. He called me the other day and said he enjoys it. He drives an hour every day and says, man, it's just right for me to listen to, and I just dig it. So shout out to you. You know who you are.
All right. Well, perfect. Well, I think we gave him two trips in this one. So.
There you go.
There and
back.
There you go. All right, man. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.